Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times bestselling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Hello and welcome to this Wednesday edition of Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Hope the last few days of November are going well for you. If you've been with us over the last couple of days, you know that we're in a series called Facing the Future. Derek Prince has been teaching us in such a solidly biblical way. And if you've been with us, you know that I'm a little stirred up about this series. You know, I pastored for 21 years and I became so familiar with people studying the end times, trying to figure out who the Antichrist is. Analyzing all of the biblical symbolism. And then when it was over, they said, okay, great. Now we know. Let's go to the movies. But Derek says that we're not waiting for the Antichrist. We're waiting for Christ. And Derek is teaching us that the Bible says that our attitude ought to be that we learn about the future so that we know how to live now. And today, he's going to be talking to us about the authority that the Lord gives his people to approach the future and to shape the future. It's a powerful teaching, and I'm thrilled for it because I know the antidote it is for us and much of the extreme teaching we've had in our generation. Now listen, a little later in the show, I'm going to have something special for you, so make sure you have something to take notes with. I'll give you a phone number and a website and tell you about a special offer we have for you. But this teaching is so important, let's get right to it as Derek teaches us about facing the future.
Today I'm going to take these truths one important step further. Christ exercises his authority through his believing people and makes continuous victory possible for us. I think I'll say that again. It's so important. Christ exercises his authority through his believing people and makes continuous victory possible for us. I want to turn first of all now to Psalm 110, verses 1 and 2. Let me mention that these two verses from the beginning of Psalm 110 are quoted more often in the New Testament than any other passage in the Old Testament. Jesus himself quoted them, as well as other writers. This is what the psalmist says. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make thine enemies a footstool for thy feet. The Lord will stretch forth thy strong scepter from Zion, saying, rule in the midst of thine enemies. Now we know from the lips of Jesus himself the application of the first verse. The Lord is God the Father. My Lord, the Lord of David, is the Messiah. So God the Father says to Jesus Christ, the Messiah, after his death and resurrection, sit at my right hand until I make thine enemies a footstool for thy feet. We saw this has already been fulfilled. Jesus is already at God's right hand. He's waiting for God to put all his enemies finally under his feet, but he's already ruling. Now the next verse of Psalm 110, verse 2, goes on like this. The Lord will stretch forth thy strong scepter from Zion, saying, rule in the midst of thine enemies. Thy strong scepter in Hebrew is literally the scepter of thy strength. The scepter was the mark of a ruler in all Old Testament culture and history. So it says, the Lord will stretch forth the scepter of thy strength from Zion. Now, Zion in the Bible means the assembly of God's people met in divine order. So out of the assembly of God's people, the Lord stretches forth the authority of Jesus, which is in his name, and rules over the nations. Now I believe the Lord who stretches forth that scepter is God, the Holy Spirit. So we have all three persons of the Godhead. God the Father raised God the Son to sit with him on the throne, and then God the Holy Spirit, through the assembly of God's people, through their proclamation, through their preaching, through their prayers, through their testimony, he stretches forth the rod of Christ's authority over the earth, and thus in this way Christ, through his people, now rules in the midst of his enemies. It's so important to see two things, that Christ is ruling, but there are enemies on every hand. So we have to balance the two facts. Sure, there are many enemies, they're very active, they're very vocal, they're very vicious, but Christ is ruling in the midst of his enemies, and he's exercising his authority through us, his people, as we meet in order and learn how to use the authority that is in his name. Furthermore, Christ sends us as his representatives to exercise his authority on his behalf. This is the final commission of Jesus to his disciples at the end of Matthew's Gospel. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me." We've seen this stated many different places. The next word that he says is, "Therefore." Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. What's the connection between the authority and the going? I believe it's this. The authority has been given to Jesus. It's our responsibility to exercise that authority, and we do it as we go and do what he's commissioned us to do in his name. And as we obey his commission, he says, "I'm with you always, right to the end of the present age. If you have any hindrances, if you have any obstacles, remember, just appeal to me. I'm on the throne. I'm there for your benefit. And I'll see to it that you can do what I've commissioned you to do." So that's the picture. Christ is on the throne, but he's ruling. He's exercising the authority that's in his name through his people as we obey him. And that's going to continue right to the end of the present age.
If this teaching is stirring your heart like it is mine, you may want to take advantage of a special resource that we're offering here this week. There's a great little booklet by Derek Prince called Surviving the Last Days. It's more of the kind of thing that you're hearing here. If you want it, and I just urge you to get it, log on to our website at derekprince.org or call us at 1-800-448-3261. It's just a gift to you for listening and also a resource to embed the Word of God in your life. There's so much more to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
Government leaders and policies can greatly affect God's people and their ability to carry out the Great Commission. But what can one believer do? Can a single saint change the course of history? Derek Prince says, yes. Few Bible teachers in modern times have had a deeper understanding of how prayer and fasting work together to change circumstances than did Derek Prince. That is why one of Derek's most consistently influential books is Shaping History Through Prayer and Fasting. As you read through its pages, you'll discover the little taught secrets of moving mountains that have inspired and influenced countless other Bible teachers and intercessors. With it, you can become a history shaper. Call toll-free 800-448-3261. To order your own copy of Shaping History Through Prayer and Fasting for only $12.95. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Derek Prince had a deep and biblical understanding of the power of prayer. He saw firsthand how God will partner with willing believers. Discover how the same keys that move princes and presidents will also bring God's perfect will into your life. Order your own copy of Shaping History Through Prayer and Fasting today. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, and if you've been with us, you know that we're in a fantastic teaching on facing the future, and Derek has just been talking to us about the scepter of the Lord and how he rules in history. Let's listen.
Let's look at this truth of Christ's victory manifested through us from another aspect. In Colossians 2:15, Paul says about the death and resurrection of Jesus, having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. So when Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood and subsequently rose from the dead, he triumphed over all the satanic opposition, all the satanic authorities and powers that resist the purposes of God and resist God's people. Jesus triumphed over them. Now it's important to understand what a triumph is. A triumph is not the winning of a victory. It's the celebration of a victory that has already been won. In the Roman Empire, when a Roman general had been victorious overseas and added territory to the Roman Empire, when he came home, the Senate of Rome voted him a triumph. And this is how it went. They placed him in a chariot drawn by two white horses. The chariot was led through the street. The people of Rome lined the street and applauded. And behind that chariot were led the prisoners of war and the people whom that general had conquered. They were the evidences of his victory. So when Jesus died and rose from the dead, he triumphed over the forces of Satan. He led them behind his chariot in public display, and the whole unseen universe applauded his victory. But that it doesn't end there. In 2 Corinthians 2:14, Paul goes on to say, "But thanks to God, who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him." Not merely is Jesus moving in triumphal procession, but we are sharing His triumph. We not only share His victory, but we share His triumph, the celebration of His victory. We are identified with Him. We are not there just on the sidewalks applauding. We're certainly not amongst the captives that are being led behind Him in chains, but we are in the chariot with the victor, sharing His triumph. And as we share His triumph, something beautiful and wonderful happens. Paul says, "God through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him." There's a kind of fragrance that comes out of our victorious living that permeates the atmosphere where we live. People who don't understand the gospel and don't appreciate theology are aware of our victorious living. And Paul says just two things I want to emphasize. God always leads us in triumph, and through us He spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. Put together those two words, always and everywhere, that means in every time, in every place, there's total victory possible for us as the people of God if by faith we learn how to share with Jesus His victory and His public triumph. Isn't that glorious? All right, I'll be singling out some of the main elements in the Bible's picture of the condition of the world in these closing days of the age and presenting them to you. As far as possible, I'll present this picture to you in an objective way, and I'll leave it to you to compare the picture I present with the scenes that you yourself actually see in the world around us today. For the first element in the Bible's prophetic picture of these closing days, we'll turn to the words of Jesus in Luke 17, verse 26. Jesus says, "Just as it was in the days of Noah, so also will it be in the days of the Son of Man." A direct comparison between the days of the Son of Man, that's the days prior to the return of Jesus, and the days of Noah. So we need to find out what the days of Noah were like. And for a description of the days of Noah, we'll turn now to Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 through 12, and pick out the main elements. We'll begin with the first four verses of Genesis chapter 6. "Now it came about, when men began to multiply on the face of the land, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves, whomever they chose." Personally, I believe the scripture makes it clear that the sons of God, there and elsewhere, is a designation of the angels. So we have a picture of beings from another plane, a supernatural plane, a plane above the level of the earth, angelic beings coming down and having sexual relationship with the daughters of men, with human women. Then we read on in verse 3 and 4, "Then the Lord said, My spirit shall not strive with man forever, because he also is flesh. Nevertheless, his days shall be 120 years. We see that when this began to happen, God set a definite time limit to the period for which he would tolerate this kind of unnatural relationship. Then we read on in the next verse, "The Nephilim were on the earth in those days." Now, the word Nephilim is a Hebrew word, and it's directly related to the Hebrew verb to fall, which is nafal. So the Nephilim means the fallen ones. Again, it's clear to me that it means fallen angels. The Nephilim, or the fallen angels, were on the earth in those days. And also afterwards, when the sons of God, that's the angels, came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. So we see a picture of unnatural relationship between fallen angels from the heavenly realm and human women. Now, some of you may find that somewhat surprising or astonishing or hard to receive. But I was educated in the classics in Britain, in Latin and Greek, for many, many years. And I have really no difficulty in believing that, because the history and the mythology of both Latin and Greek, the Greeks and the Romans, are just filled with myths and stories of people whom they called gods, but whom we would call fallen angels, having sexual relationships with human men. There's the famous story of Zeus coming to Leda in the form of a swan, and so on. And out of those unnatural relationships were born men whom the Greeks called heroes, men of renown, it calls them in this passage. I believe we could perhaps sum it up in a phrase like this. In the time of Noah, there was intense pressure and penetration of the human race from the occult realm, from an unseen spiritual realm. Continuing on with the description of the world in Noah's day, we move on to Genesis 6:5, where it says, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Here the emphasis is on man's inner experience, what's going on inside the mind and the heart of man, and it says his imagination, his thoughts, his intentions were all evil. I could sum that up perhaps in the phrase, universal corruption of thought life. Everything had been contaminated. Images, speech, concepts, they were all permeated by something impure and unclean.
What a fascinating description of the Roman triumph and how Christ always leads us in triumphal procession. We need more of this embedded in our soul. I urge you to listen to this teaching over and over again and get that sense of victory into your soul. There's so much more of this to come as Derek completes this teaching and Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
As chaos spreads around the world, one thing is clear. Israel, and Jerusalem in particular, is increasingly the focal point of controversy, uncertainty, and strife on earth. Each day, a wave of anti-Semitism sweeps many parts of the world. You need to know what all this means, and more importantly, what you should do to be prepared. These are some of the reasons Derek Prince Ministries has released a new booklet by Derek Prince called Surviving the Last Days. This powerful little book explains how we should live in these last days. That is why we want you to have a copy free and postage paid. Call toll-free 800-448-3261. To order your free copy of Surviving the Last Days, 800-448-3261. In Canada, 888-737-0771. Prepare for the days ahead. 800-448-3261. The call and the booklet are both free. 800-448-3261. Or visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. You know, it's Wednesday, and we're in a series on facing the future. If you've missed any of this, and let me just say that it's not as important, or at least equal to, the importance of getting the facts in your mind is getting this attitude and this spirit in your heart. And so if you've missed any of the series, or you just want to embed it even more deeply into your soul, you can log on to the website at derekprince.org, derekprince.org. You'll be able to listen to this teaching and the teachings that have already occurred in this series, and you'll also find out a great deal about what's going on with Derek Prince Ministries. So I urge you, if this is touching your soul, don't just listen to it once. Get it into your ears and into your heart over and over. Okay, let's listen now as Derek completes today's teaching, talking to us about the days of Noah.
Going on further in Genesis chapter 6, verse 11, "Now the earth was corrupt in the sight of God, and the earth was filled with violence." That's the next distinctive feature of the age of Noah. The earth was filled with violence. There was apparently a sudden upsurge of crimes of violence. Men became violent in their acts and their attitudes. Violence was a feature of their life that was accepted as commonplace. And then in the next verse, Genesis 6, verse 12, we have another aspect of the days of Noah. Says, "God looked on the earth, and behold, it was corrupt." Incidentally, I would suggest that that one word corrupt probably sums it all up as well as any one word could. Then it goes on, "Behold, the earth was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way upon the earth." I understand that to mean that there was a total corruption of all the kinds of relationships that we associate with the flesh, primarily and particularly that the sex life and relationships of the time had become corrupted and unnatural. But could sum it up in the phrase sexual corruption and perversion. So if we put those pictures together, we can single out four distinctive aspects of the days of Noah. And as I go through these again now in recapitulation, I'm inviting you to consider how far the same is true of our society and our culture all around us today. First of all, there was intense pressure and penetration from the occult realm. There was relationships that were unnatural between beings of different orders, spirit beings from a higher realm and human beings. on earth. Secondly, there was universal corruption of thoughts. Thirdly, the earth was filled with violence. Crimes of violence increased dramatically. Fourthly, there was widespread sexual corruption and perversion. How does that match up with our society and our culture today? Do we see today an increasing penetration of normal human life by occult forces and influences? Is there a tremendously increased influence on the occult? Do we find that men's thoughts are being corrupted, that language is degenerating, that everything's filled with impure and unclean images and suggestions? Do we see, thirdly, the earth filled with violence? Obviously, the answer to that question is yes. And fourthly, do we see sexual and corruption and perversion around us in an ever-increasing measure? I'm going to leave it to you to meditate on those features of the days of Noah and ask yourself, are the days in which we're living coming more and more like the days of Noah?
You know, there is an attitude that ought to fill our hearts when we really understand what Derek is teaching us from the scriptures today. I learned a principle of politics some years ago. Many of you know that I work in Washington, D.C. and work in politics. And there's a principle, actually, it's probably best exhibited by Jesse Jackson. Because the principle is, if you offer a people hope, you acquire a position of leadership in their lives. And when Jesse Jackson goes into barrios and ghettos and says, keep hope alive, he becomes the leader of a people because he offers them hope. And this principle's on my mind today as I think about this attitude. You know, if we as Christians are the most dour, the most negative, the most critical, the most cynical about our age, we're not going to lead anybody. Nobody is drawn to somebody like that. You don't walk into a coffee shop and immediately want to sit down with the most bitter, gossiping, angry person in the room. No, the person you're drawn to is a person who's positive and upbeat and laughing and telling stories that are encouraging and inspiring. And you know, this is the way we ought to be as believers. When we really understand that we have been called to the kingdom for such a time as this, when we really understand that Christ is ruling, he's not going to rule, he doesn't rule occasionally, he doesn't just bust into history and do something and then leave, he is ruling on the earth. That's when we begin to have this attitude of faith and positive that draws people. You know, I believe the scriptures indicate, and I think that we understand from the Spirit of God, that we ought to be influencing this generation. We ought to be shaping it. We ought to be leading people. We ought to be providing hope at a time when people feel hopeless. It's not some kind of Pollyanna attitude that ignores the realities of the world. Instead, it's getting in there in the middle of the battle, in the middle of the darkness, and saying, you know, there's a God, his son is Jesus Christ, he loves us, he gives authority to his people, and we can change this world, change this generation. You know, I heard a National Public Radio survey not too long ago of Katrina survivors, and 92% of them believe that their future was greater than their past because God was in their lives. Now, this is a people who have no home, people without jobs, and yet they believe because there's a God, their future is bright. This is exactly what we ought to be like as believers. We need to absorb this truth that Derek's giving us, and we need to take it out into our generation and change our world. Well, that's all the time we have today. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again tomorrow as the legacy continues.
Take a moment now to get your free copy of Derek's insightful booklet, Surviving the Last Days. It's yours free and postage paid when you call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. And don't forget to order your copy of Derek's book, Shaping History Through Prayer and Fasting, for only $12.95. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at derekprince.org. That's derekprince.org.